Hi, I'm your host, Rowan Tonkin, and welcome to Being Planful, the show for FP&A leaders and planning experts. Hi everyone, I'm Rowan Tonkin, your host of Being Planful. I'm joined by Jonathan Blythe of Collingwood Lighting Group, and he's out from the UK here at Planful Perform in Chicago. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Well, thanks for making the trip out. We really do appreciate it. And thanks for joining us here on the podcast from the show.
Yeah, absolute pleasure to be here.
So firstly, I know Collingwood Lighting Group's a PE-funded firm,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And PE, for those that don't know, private equity backed. And it's a bit of a different model to what many of us hear and talk about. And something that we haven't really discussed on the Being Planful show is like the differences between, you know, maybe venture backed or private equity funded. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk through some of that. So Jonathan, tell us what it means to be owned by a private equity firm.
Being part of a private equity backed business is both challenging but also enjoyable, because the speed at which you have to work is much greater than the traditionally privately owned business. But not only that, the level of detail you have to go into for your investors, who have put significant amounts of money into the business to help it grow and develop, they want to make sure they're getting their return. So it's really, really important that we provide that level of information, that granularity, and also that information is robustly backed up by the level of detail you may or may not want to go into.
Yeah. We won't touch on the you may not want to go into part. I'm sure that's maybe a different episode.
Yeah, exactly.
But as we think about that, so like private equity, they obviously have different timelines and different time horizons for their investments, and that drives a lot of decision making for you both in the business and as you're working with the board and the investors. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, typically the time horizon is about 5 to 6 years around a private equity backed business. You know, they sometimes want they want to accelerate that if they can and shorten that length and time. But they also want to make sure that they're supporting their management teams to do the right choices, and that's really, really key. But their time horizons can be short or fast, you know, and it's part of the enjoyment, really, because you never quite know from year to year what the next event might be.
Yeah.
And that might be an exit, that might be a new acquisition, that might be a new development within your industry, and that keeps the excitement alive.
And you really enjoy that excitement.
I
can see it in
it.
Your face here. Yeah. and so as you think about private equity, obviously they're buying an asset, and typically those assets are undervalued, is the historic model that I've certainly seen over here. Is that true of the UK and Collingwood Lighting, like buying an undervalued asset and trying to grow the business? Or
I think it's more about not necessarily undervalued, but seeing the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So in Collingwood, you know, our private equity backers, so a UK business that had a great brand and a great quality and a great ECG record. And what they've done then is said, right, here's more funds and here's new businesses around Europe that we can acquire and grow further. So we've acquired a business in Italy, and we've acquired a business more recently in Belgium, and we're now growing that brand across and also the brands of the local businesses as well to grow our business further. So.
And so Collingwood Lighting, was it just family run, and then the PE sponsor came in and said, actually, we want to fuel your growth, and that was the model?
So it was privately family. It was under-managed previously that went into a private equity fund previous to our current backers. They've helped that go from one strength to another. So we went through a growth spurt through COVID, and then we're going through a further growth now as we expand the range of products by... Yeah. Through our acquisitions, we've got access to new product ranges
that are
fantastic, and we can bring those into the UK. And equally, our UK brands and products can be spread across our sister companies now.
It's amazing how a little bit of money helps, isn't
it? It is.
Much like marketing investment is an investment, and you get a return back. This is what Jonathan's going through here. So, as you think about that kind of life cycle, what changes, like? As you go through the maturity curve, what changes? And you kind of touched on a little bit in terms of the level of detail that you need. Talk a little bit about that rigor that you have to bring because of the way that they want to really understand their investment.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as we've gone through the private equity curve and we've gone from one PE house to another, and those the PE house is much bigger PE house, and the fund is much bigger, that rigor around financial information is really, really key. And that's not only from a day-to-day investor management perspective, but also from an exit perspective as well. Because when we come to exit the business at some stage in the future, our future owners will want to know as much detail as what our current PE backers do. And that will present our business in the best light, which ultimately returns the best investment for our mm-hmm. backers.
Yeah.
So it's all about that generation of shareholder wealth through better data integrity and better information.
Well, and better positioning of the company exactly. and its realities.
It's shown it in its best light, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about PE as being kind of house flipping, if you will, right? You know, buying a nice house, doing it up, and part of that is just making sure that you show it off when it's for sale. Right?
Correct. Yeah. It's a bit like tidying the house up before the
guests come over to
view the house.
Yeah, exactly. I hate it when my wife makes me do it. So talk about that data maturity, the journey that you've been on at Collingwood Lighting. Obviously, you know, you've gone from sponsor to sponsor. How have you implemented that change going through an acquisition?
So you know, we've had to go through a maturity from both an IT perspective. So we'll mature around how we get data sourcing. We've got multiple sources across the business, from ERPs to CRMs, and bringing those together to tie that information together better, so we can understand what our sales force is doing across the business. But also around understanding how our cross-selling of our products across the group is working, and understanding actually is a Collingwood product that was designed in Collingwood now selling in Italy, and how do we drive ourselves better?
Yeah.
So we're getting better as a business to bringing that together, and we're still on a massive journey there. We've got to go further, and we'll start to integrate that using tools like Planful actually to bring that information together, and then that'll step forwards further from there.
And then as you think about that, more acquisitions on the cards?
Hopefully. There's always going to be hopefully more acquisitions. We know we're a very ambitious business, and we want to grow further. Europe's a big space, you know, and we'd look to expand further from there. And again, tools like Planful, you know, give us that platform for our integration plan when we start to bring business into the fold.
And so for those folks that are listening, and, you know, they might have experienced venture-backed business, for example, you know, in a venture-backed model, you've got a group of different investors, you know, coming to the table and giving advice and opinions. What's the flip side of that when you've just got one owner and it's like, all right, they're the boss?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think, you know, I see working in a VC-backed business, it's very key for me. Make sure I've got a partner on the other side, and that partner is as much around a challenge for me, to challenge me and my thought process, but also somebody to bounce ideas off.
Yeah,
and that's always a great part of being in a VC business. You've got, yes, they're your boss at the end of the day, but you've also got a peer you can bounce ideas off and thought process and develop your ideas in an open space, in a comfortable space. It's enjoyable for that, and I like that. That's one of my real enjoyments, is being challenged the other way around how I think.
So. Single sponsor always helps. So, the direction can be clear, but also like you're able to do it without the nuance of competing priorities from multiple funds, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You still get the competing priorities because growth is always king, but you get a good partnership in that. You can quite easily sit down and say, right, what actually is the priority? What order are we going to do these events
in?
And you can have a sensible discussion, and those can be very, like, you know, detailed, and then they can be very high level, so that you can bounce from high level, and again, having that data around you helps you go into the detail to discuss a particular topic, but then you can come out and look at the bigger topics as well. So,
and so when you think about, you know, in your case, your specific sponsor, what services do they provide to you to help you make better, more efficient decisions? Because, you know, obviously they're sponsoring lots of different businesses, and you know, they have great patent recognition, they got great talent recognition. How do they help you accelerate their investment?
So as investors, you know, they're very supportive. So as a management team, when we come up with an idea, they'll listen, they'll challenge, which is required. but they will ultimately support. If a management team are very passionate about an idea, they'll allow a little bit of experimentation within boundaries, but they're allowed for that. You know, as we grow and we've got this challenge as a group, as we get bigger, we have to think about how we structure ourselves differently from when we were that much smaller business to how we are now. And they'll enable that, and they'll be very, very supportive of that.
Do they provide services to all their portfolio companies, like, you know, value creation type services to help you do that?
Exactly that. So we have dedicated resource within the PE firm. Mm-hmm. We have two effective investment managers, managers, and those are people I speak to on pretty much a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And that can be everything from, you know, I've got this idea, what do you think? Yep. To I've got this problem, what do you think? And you get both ends of the spectrum, and it's really good, you know, along with encouraging other colleagues as well on the board to kind of challenge each other and give that safe space, but a challenging space.
And do you network well with the other CFOs in the portfolio area?
You do get to meet them. Yeah. And you get to experience that, you know, that challenge and what the challenges they have, because it'll be a completely fundamentally different business but still the same challenges. So it could be very, very interesting that.
Well, it's definitely interesting for I'm sure a lot of folks on the line. You know, maybe they want to go and work at the PE firm and do some of the financial insights on the M&A side, on the buy side, or maybe on the sell side, right? So there's, for those FP&A professionals out there, there's a whole other career where you can go and do all of that modeling on the PE side,
yes,
but then also a fun different career living on the side of being owned and managed by a PE firm.
Exactly, and FP&A has become such a key part of my department now, because that's a key resource for me. It's about, so I kind of split the group up into two sections. One is the historic accounting side, but the FP&A is all about the future and actually future modeling. Actually, where's the business going to go to beyond tomorrow, and actually beyond the year, before, you know, the next year. So.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you stopping by here and joining us for a quick chat on PE run businesses. It's not something that we talk about too often, but I certainly really enjoyed this conversation. And once again, Jonathan, thanks for coming all the way out from London here to Chicago, and I hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
All
Cheers.
Right. Thanks, Jonathan. Make sure you hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for stopping by.